Yeah.
The lights are red. Let you know. Now they're green. There you go. All right, green is go. Call to order. This regular meeting of the mayor and council of the borough of Atlantic Highlands is called pursuant to the provisions of the open public meetings law. Adequate notice has been provided by transmitting the resolution of annual meetings to the Asbury Park Press and the Two River Times by posting it in the borough hall on a bulletin board reserved for such announcements and by filing it with the municipal clerk on January 3rd, 2022. This agenda is complete to the extent known and formal action will be taken. Roll call.
Mr. Murphy.
Here.
Ms. Hornleitner.
Here.
Mr. Dougherty.
Here.
Mr. Crowley. Mr. Baracchio.
Here.
Mr. Bongs.
Here.
Mayor Gluckstein.
Here. Please stand for a silent prayer and pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Crowley will be joining us. His son is graduating and they're having a senior award ceremony. So he said he should be here, I think in about 15 minutes or so. Approval of previous meeting minutes, May 26, 2022. Regular meeting.
I'll move it.
Second.
And roll call.
Mr. Murphy?
Yes.
Ms. Hornleitner?
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty?
Yes.
Mr. Baracchio?
Yes.
Mr. Bongs?
Yes.
Minutes have been approved.
And now, Ordinance 7-2022, Adoption of Floodplain Management Regulations, Public Hearing and Possible Adoption. I need a motion and a second.
I'll move it.
Second.
All in favor, roll call, and all in favor.
All in favor.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Questions?
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to be the flood?
That's okay. That's okay.
Who was going to be the floodplain management coordinator? Was it floodplain management?
Yes, sir. So the good evening, Mr. Lensworth. The floodplain coordinator for the borough of Atlantic Highlands is Joe Kaczynski. He works for Middletown, and we use him for our borough.
Is he like a licensed engineer?
I don't know if his licenses.
It says it can be delegated to somebody. Certain tasks can be delegated to employees. I want to know if that delegation can end up being with the zoning, the code enforcement officer.
So I'd have to look into that to answer that, yeah.
So I won't tell you that. I said this before, but I guess I said this in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
My best friend, since the third grade, lived in Cherry Hill. He lived there for 30 years, raised his family, his kids went to college. He finally decides to move, but when he went to sell his house, he discovered that after Sandy, part of his house was put into a floodplain. And long story short, he couldn't sell his house. Insurance was $7,000 a year. Nobody would touch it. This ordinance, as I read it, is like a grab bag. If you do anything and you live in a floodplain, it's going to cost you a fortune by the time you go through the engineers and the all the things you have to do in order to do anything if your house is in a floodplain. And I just think this is like way over the top, and it's going to really hit the values of the houses that we have in the floodplain. And I think you should be aware of it and see if you can do something about it, or at least require that anyone who lives in a floodplain has to notify the new purchaser that the house isn't a floodplain, although that may already be the case. So, thanks.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And Kieran Kennedy, 10 Harborview Drive. Kieran Kennedy, 10 Harborview Drive. I'd like to make a few comments about ordinance 07-2022 and appear on the agenda May 26th. It's on the agenda today for public hearing possible adoption. It's very similar to the intent previously with ordinance 06-2020. It's being rushed through with no real attempt to discuss it with impacted residents. Pushing through a 36-page legally worded ordinance, which is replacing what previously was a 3-paragraph piece of legislation in a 2-week period, is grossly unfair to the residents impacted by the ordinance and does not bode well for transparency, inclusion, and doing best for all residents in the town, which is the 3-year of the election term. Two comments directly on the ordinance. Definition of what is considered a floodplain has changed, allows the bearer to determine the floodplain not based on the national standard of FEMA maps, but also using insurance, data information, or even based on water from previous flood events. The impact is as the town gets to decide who's in the floodplain and who is not, and that can significantly mean more residents will be impacted than those that are ready today to know they're in a FEMA flood zone. And it appears to be creating additional processes, permits, and floodplain administrator being made more difficult for anyone with a property in the flood zone to perform construction or repairs on the property. It appears unfair and a costly burden of engineering fees, valuation fees for those homeowners. The ordinance does not mention what the cost of these additional permits will be. That should be clear before the ordinance is adopted. The ordinance suggests a fine of $1,250 in the event of a violation. However, New Jersey State Statute 4041A101 states that a fine put in place by an ordinance may not exceed $500. The ordinance has an effective date of April 4, 2022. New Jersey Statute 4041A101 states that no orders can take effect less than 20 days after final passage by the board. I urge each of you not to adopt this ordinance, as you'll be discriminating against residents of at least 15 streets in town, and possibly a lot more depending on how the town decides to determine the floodplain. Before you vote on it, you should consider if you can easily explain each of the residents how 36 pages of new rules will impact them. I also ask why this ordinance needs to be in place, why not, and what are the driving factors for it.
Can you speak on that, please?
So, we've been in communication with FEMA, with Mr. Kaczynski, who's our floodplain coordinator, as well as Mr. Romeyer, our engineer, who can also add a few points to this. So, this is coming down from the federal government. This is a requirement. FEMA is informing the municipalities that are within the realm of water bodies here on the coast, and they community that quote, if action is not taken in time, meaning meeting the deadline of June 15, your community shall be suspended from the National Flood Insurance Program, NFIP. No extensions are accepted. That's straight from Tanya Evans, the floodplain management specialist for FEMA. We did inquire if the plan can be changed, altered, or amended. The answer was no.
Why is the vote happening now?
I'm sorry?
Did FEMA only give us 2 weeks to work this out?
Joe Kaczynski is the individual who had the timeline. I don't have the timeline in front of me of when he received the document. He's the one who reviewed it.
If
but
I can just add a little bit.
Sure, go ahead.
So there is a flood damage prevention ordinance on the books currently within the borough. That was modeled after the state. The state provided a model of what the language was. FEMA has audited New Jersey's model ordinance and came up with independent modifications, and that's what CEP put out for the individual municipalities to utilize. And what this ordinance does is it updates the ordinance that's on the books, and basically it's reconciling FEMA's requirements, the NFIP's requirements, the DEP's flood hazard area, the FHA regs, and most importantly, the UCC building code. So what this document does is it reconciles all those documents locally to eliminate some inconsistencies. I will note that the DEP model did allow for some individual modifications to the model itself. But I do note that this code maintains the minimum required standard. So you still see your 1 foot of freeboard requirement. You're seeing the $1,250 fines, where
the order, the state allows it to go up to be higher and allow for additional restrictions. So DEP rolled out the model ordinance, and each individual municipality was required to craft it to be their own locally, and had to go back to the state for review and approval. And then once those comments were received, which were very, very recently, as far as I understand, then the introduction and adoption locally has been implemented.
So there's still a situation where we could change some of the rules within that if we weren't on this deadline. And it's basically being forced on the residents now because somebody didn't look at it back.
We do.
How many members do you find out acceptable?
The changes that are permitted by the state in order for the state to find the local ordinance to compliance, the changes are only due to implement higher restrictions locally.
So like Monmouth Beach, Doug, right? For example, my brother-in-law and sister-in-law lived in Monmouth Beach during Sandy, and Monmouth Beach put in a restriction that was like plus 3 feet above the standard.
Correct.
So that, so Monmouth Beach in that scenario created something that was more
strict
than what the new flood maps had required. So all that this is we could be more strict than that, and we're not choosing to do that.
I'm not answering the question as to why we're giving ourselves 2 weeks.
So Doug, let me ask you a more direct question. Is it fair to say that we can't legally go below the standard that was included in the model ordinance?
If you choose to not put forth a flood damage prevention ordinance that is acceptable to the state and ultimately FEMA, they can remove the community, they can remove the borough from the NFIP, which would mean individual private property owners would not be eligible for flood insurance on the properties through the NFIP.
But I don't think you're answering your question, which is,
I will.
Is that the minimum? Is what we have the minimum legally required?
Yeah.
It is.
That's yes. How it was presented to me, but
I don't see any other times when the priest says I. So why is it?
All the towns are being required to submit this by June 15th.
And from what I understand.
Exactly as written.
As.
Or strict.
Or stricter, right. If they altered it to have more stricter guidelines, then that's their own prerogative.
So why are we even getting 2 weeks to review this?
As far as I know, Mr. Kaczynski got this in the proper time and submitted what he needed to submit in the proper time.
Mr. Kaczynski, to address your question, from what I understand, we got this just recently. I don't know what the delay was in getting that to us to review, but this is a pretty big ordinance. We're kind of obligated, hands are tied, I guess, it seems, to move this forward so we don't lose that funding or that opportunity to stay within the good graces of FEMA, but I don't know. I don't personally know when we got or when this was submitted to get this information.
Yeah, I don't think anyone will say we don't want to be compliant with FEMA. I think what we're saying is
we should have known about this.
We should have known about this a lot sooner. Residents should have had a chance to comment on it. If there were things that could be changed, we should have been able to have a comment and a review of that.
Okay.
It's not. I don't feel that by approving this, the you guys are doing the jobs that you're there to do, which is the fact that the residents are not.
I think it's a more a case of they have a gun to our head, because if we don't do it, then you're in a floodplain, you can't get flood insurance.
I find it hard to believe that FEMA gave us 2 weeks to do this.
Yeah, I do too, and that's something we need to look at. I agree. But the way they set this up, it's almost like they're forcing us, because if we don't do it, then we run the risk of really hurting a lot of residents.
Right.
If you run the risk and you can't get insurance, and we have another Sandy, then you're on the hook for your mortgage and all the other expenses. And it's not a good thing, but...
Yeah. No, understood.
I don't know if it's possible to pass this, and then there's nothing you can do at that point, or?
Right, so if you're not, if it's at the minimum of what is permitted by FEMA, we're sort of having an academic discussion. We can answer all the questions that anybody wants anytime.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime. But we have to pass it, or else people could be in trouble, right. Financially.
But I'm sure it is the minimum from FEMA.
Yes, that's how.
Yeah,
I'm not.
It was very straightforward. The model ordinance that the state rolled out to the town, they highlighted the sections in blue where had the opportunity to go higher. And I did a side-by-side check, and like I said, 1 foot freeboard. And most of this is already in place somewhere else, right? The FEMA mapping, we're not, the borough's not selecting where the flood zone boundaries are or the base flood elevations. The mapping is in place. This just points to the correct maps.
Now, this also gives the borough the chance to create another mapping if they do the flood study. I don't really agree with that, but...
Let the record reflect Councilman Crowley is going to join us on the dais. Hey, Councilman.
718. Great. Okay, anyone else?
Dr. Sherman, did I understand you correctly that every town that's in a floodplain, meaning Belford, Seaport.
That was my understanding. Correct.
Seabright shaking his head, yes.
Yeah, we just had to deal with it.
And
yeah, I know Law Branch had their vote last night as well.
Every town along the coast, Highlands.
They should.
That's what my understanding is, speaking with Mr. Kaczynski.
What we saw is the actual ordinance. We didn't see what brought up the ordinance. We didn't see what it is that your understanding is.
Well, when I say my understanding, it was a verbal conversation with Mr. Kaczynski.
It was initiated by a letter from the DEP to the municipality. And I'm fully aware that all the coastal municipalities are going through the same process. When you submit your draft, other municipalities that have submitted their drafts to the state, there has been a large delay of getting comments back. So the target of June 15th, it's a little bit fluid in other municipalities based on when the comments came back. But yes,
engineers came back with exactly what. Nobody said from the engineers that we sent it to that it was a state requirement. The engineers have been stating it. I'm not prepared to bring you all that because I thought other people would be here, but it doesn't look like we're here. Is there a Zoom?
Mm-hmm.
Zoom's on. And people online.
Okay, so maybe some of those people will talk about. I don't know what I'm talking about, but whoever sent returned the report that we sent to some engineers didn't say anything about it being a state requirement.
Did they say it was not?
They did not.
They didn't say it was not.
I just didn't. I mean, that would have started out that way and said, well, it's a state requirement and everybody has to do it. Maybe make some comment on what we're doing, but nobody said that to begin with. That's the only reason I'm questioning it. It just sounds like it's coming back to the Denholz problem that we had 2 years ago, and that it's being thrown back up in conjunction with whatever was going on with that, which we've already gone through. If you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I guess, as you said earlier, Long Branch had already done theirs. I see Councilman Beavers here. He said the same thing. They had theirs last week.
Yeah.
And I don't know, Mayor, I see you're here. I assume Highlands dealt with it as well.
Yeah, we had an out-of-cycle meeting that had to take place under pressure, same way as you have, and we had no choice but to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Tom Blood, 125 Scott Avenue. Are we being guided by federal law? Is this like a supremacy clause where, in fact, the federal FEMA laws are governing what we're doing at the state level? And thus we need to adopt it at the local level. Is that what's going on here?
I think it's the FEMA rules as to who, if you want to get insurance from them and participating in the program, this is what you have to do. So, like, similar to like how a homeowners association can get FHA approval, and people who are in the homeowners association can get mortgages, they have that approval. I think we have to do this ordinance, or else folks in town can't get flood insurance through the FEMA program.
We're
yeah.
From the federal government that's telling us where the flood map is.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Okay. So my question is, if are we going to begin including other supremacy clauses that have an environmental impact in this community? So if in fact our determination is the federal floodplain mapping and the law is governing how we handle things environmentally, as a community, are we going to go ahead and follow that hierarchy, the federal, the state, and the local ordinance? And what impact will this have on Many Mine Creek? What impact will it have on Harbor? Maybe we can go ahead and have a conversation and quantify the financial impact, the number of households that are being impacted, so we can take some of this, and maybe we can establish some consistency in the way we handle these issues.
Mm-hmm.
Just a quick question for Doug. Doug, if I'm not mistaken, it's my understanding as well that also affects us as a municipality as well, with the flood maps and the ability to get, if we don't pass this, we may have a risk with FEMA as well being insured.
We would be suspended from the National Flood Insurance Program.
That was my point. The harbor would be a specific situation where if we do have another Sandy situation and we are suspended from the FEMA, and that goes underwater like it did during Sandy, it's going to be on all of us as taxpayers to recoup those costs. So, I mean, I think that's an important, you know, thing to bring up as well.
FEMA mapping is on the books. It's effective. The UCC recognizes the FEMA billing requirements. They're on the books. They're effective. This is reconciling all the documents. So it can be better managed at the local level.
Do we have anyone in town that needs federal flood insurance? I've not ever heard that we do.
Private properties.
But are there any that need it because they can't get insurance elsewhere? I've never heard of that.
How you could know that without knowing that every single lot.
But it's never anything that's come up and talking to anybody along the water or anywhere else.
It's also both flood insurance. So we have
flood insurance. So primarily, you get NFIP back policies.
Right. All right. What I'm trying to understand is, so if we don't do that, do those people lose their flood insurance then?
They lose the backing from the NFIP.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then you would be forced to purchase. If you hold a mortgage and you're required to have flood insurance, if you're in flood insurance.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be required to purchase private flood insurance,
right,
which is not subsidized by the federal government.
Right. So it'd be something like in Florida. I mean, everybody, I know when I talk to people who live there, they'll say, oh, my taxes are low, but they're paying $8,000 a year in insurance, flood insurance. Mm-hmm. So it's the flip side. So you could potentially have a case where you're stuck paying high, just very high rates, if you can get it. Yeah. It does seem somewhat, underhanded the way it was rolled out, because it puts us in a bad position. There's really a no-win. To say no, you run the risk of hurting a lot of people. To say yes, it may affect some people too negatively.
But in essence, we don't have a choice.
But
to pass this.
Yeah.
Or we lose that. We lose the backing of FEMA.
Right.
Yeah. My conversation with Mr. Kaczynski today led to one comment he made, which says, Rob, this has no effect on Atlantic Islands. This has more to do with FEMA readjusting and updating their map. And he said, I'd be more than happy to attend one of your meetings to answer any questions that the community has. He couldn't attend tonight because he actually was leaving the state for the weekend. But he, for those of you who don't know him, he's very knowledgeable, and he'll be more than happy to come in and answer questions.
Sarah Colazzardo, 28 Island. I just have a question more about the decisions where we were able to. This model of flood ordinance was introduced by the NDDP at least a year ago. So I remember I brought it up to the Environmental Commission. And one of the innovations of it is that you can develop a local assigned flood elevation, and it can be more stringent. And so I was kind of hoping that would be a conversation, because it's just good to like take a look at what our risks are and understand whether with sea level rise and the 100-year flood plain moving inward and upland, like, it probably would have been a good opportunity to learn more about our flood risk here and potentially do our own local design of flood elevation. So I'm kind of wondering, like, what, where that conversation happened, how come it was maybe more public, maybe kind of more like a workshop.
I wasn't here a year ago, but and I don't know the time frame of when Mr. Kaczynski received the documents or what have you. I do not. We're on schedule as of right now to submit this on time, and I think that if the request is that when this occurs again, because my understanding is FEMA does update the maps periodically. I don't know what, if they have an actual yearly, multiple year cycle, whether it's 3 years, 5 years, whatever, or if it's random, but nevertheless, it will come up at some point again. And our message internally, as well as to our floodplain coordinator, would be that when that does occur, that we have a broader discussion about it.
Okay, good. I believe FEMA is supposed to put out new maps for our area in like the next year or two. They've been doing a restudy over the last like 5 years, and we have some updated methodology, which might actually be less stringent than the previous one. So, yeah, I just hope maybe we can.
The environmental committee. Through the environmental committee, maybe that would be a good starting point.
Yeah. Right, yeah, I did.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
All right.
Yeah. And a lot of people have federally backed flood insurance in this town, I guarantee.
Anyone else?
Show that one.
Is that anyone in Zoom?
There are no hands raised.
Okay. So since I see no hands up, I need a motion and a second to close public.
Bums.
Okay.
Okay.
All in favor?
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay.
Aye.
Now I need a motion and a second to adopt.
I'll move it.
Second.
Okay, roll call.
Mr. Murphy?
Reluctantly, yes.
Mr. Unleitner?
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty?
Yes.
Mr. Crowley?
I'm sorry, I was at my son's senior awards, and so I missed some of the public comment.
Okay.
So I have to recuse.
Abstain.
Abstain.
Mr. Barakian?
Yes.
Mr. Bombs?
Yes.
Okay. Ordinance 7, 2022 has passed.
Now I need a motion and a second to open Ordinance 8, 2022 for the bond ordinance, public hearing, and possible adoption.
So which bond ordinance is this again? To the road program?
Mm-hmm.
So everybody remembers.
Murphy?
Bombs.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay.
It's the road program, now,
mm-hmm.
right? Seven, yeah, okay.
Any more questions? Anyone on Zoom?
No hands raised.
Okay, so no hands. So I'm going to need a motion and a second to close public.
Okay.
And now I need a motion.
Roll call.
Oh, roll call. Are all in favor?
Yeah.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Okay, now I need a motion and a second for adoption.
Murphy.
And roll call.
Mr. Murphy?
Yes.
Ms. Hohenleitner?
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty?
Yes.
Mr. Crowley?
Yes.
Mr. Barakian?
Yes.
Mr. Bombs?
Yes.
Ordinance 8, 2022 has passed.
Thank you. Now, I'll open it up to the public comment on agenda items only. Please, once you come up, state your name and address.
If I may interject, the council may want to consider taking resolution 106-2022 and pulling it from the agenda with anticipated comments.
Pulling from the consent agenda.
Correct.
Right.
From the that's just a suggestion.
Mm-hmm. What's
I'll make a motion to pull this.
You don't need to make a motion.
We'll do a wait of that.
We're doing public comment on the agenda items, and then sounds like we're going to pull 106-2022 right. from the consent agenda. No, absolutely.
You can.
That's why I was clarifying.
That's right.
Yeah, anyone can say what they like. Yep.
Josh wants to still 60 days high drive. I just want to say there's some insurance companies that will not write us homeowners insurance at all, and we're 65 feet above the water. They just say we have a blanket rule, half a mile around the shore and don't write. Sure. But I would like, could you send two letters to the commissioner, one with Seabright and one without? I think we need a choice. Consolidate the tri-district by itself and consolidation of the tri-district, including Seabright. I think it's apples. I think they're two different issues somewhat, and I think we should be able to, two different proposals.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
That's what I'm.
Thank you. Thank you.
So I have a question about the liquor licenses and the two that are inactive, Shore Casino Corporation and Catering on the Cliff. Is that a harbor restaurant?
Yes.
So why are they inactive? We just had a PBA water and we're all good. So that's an active license. That's what I just
he holds. He holds another license, the Shore Casino.
The Pocket?
Yes. The Pocket is also his under 10. That's closed?
No.
No, that's not.
No, that's separate. And Catering on the Cliff was the license from the old Hofburger House.
Oh, that's
the name. I was thinking it was off the day. Okay. Yeah, that answers my question. Thank you. Okay. Zach Brown, 620 Woods Drive. I also have a question about the liquor licenses. Is it true that the town is not restricted on how many liquor licenses that we're able to issue?
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
The number is set by the state?
But based on population.
And
but if you have older licenses that are grandfathered in before that law, that's why some towns have more licenses than they would otherwise be allowed to have. I don't know if that's true here, but that's possible because okay. They were existed before the law.
I know there are a few establishments on First Avenue that think might benefit from having a liquor license.
Mm-hmm.
So I would just, on the record, like to encourage the holders of any inactive or pocket licenses to maybe consider helping out
the business on first
Thanks.
Thanks. Any other questions?
Tom Hogan, 125 Eastbound Avenue. A couple questions with respect to avoidance of engineering services for New Jersey for transportation. Can anybody answer whether it's just engineering services or there's also a financial costing component to it, and how might we utilize CMA to survey all the roads in town and address the concern that I had raised in the past about the responsibility of New Jersey Natural Gas, and then meeting their requirement for that invasive the whole road. So what I'd like to know is part of that award can it be allocated to that process?
Good question.
I don't know the question. I did not include that scope of services in my proposal associated with Reso 109.
Right, correct. So, exactly. In addition to that, the question is, could we direct CME to engage in that? The answer to that is yes. However, there would be substantial costs, sorry, Doug, associated to it because they would bill us for it. The governing body would need to, and the committee, finance committee would need to decide whether or not that would be financially prudent to do that. So I believe the answer to your question, yes, they could they be directed to do it? Yes. In order to do that, though, we'd have to do an analysis and have an internal discussion with the finance department to find out what the cost of that would be and do a cost-benefit analysis and see if it would be financially prudent to do so.
Okay, so my recommendation would be a two-phase approach. Fund that financial study internally and utilize the team we have now, and then based on that, share that information with CMA, and they, too, could, do that study to figure out if it makes sense. I would think that the simple calculation would be what the cost of paving one block is right? And that simple process of them verifying the permits in New Jersey Natural Gas, that cost analysis can then be multiplied by whatever streets they've done. So my recommendation is you take it up and address it.
Thank you.
And then number two is on resolution 110-2022 for South Avenue Park improvements. So my question is, what is the coordination of cost between New Jersey Natural Gas and the restoration project, and how much is that allocated to the park? Do we have that information, or do we need to look into that?
There's a set dollar amount that was set aside as part of the agreement.
Right.
That is, the borough controls the spending on that, not New Jersey Natural Gas.
Okay. Do we know what that number is?
I believe it's 100,000.
Right.
Yeah, it's a six-figure number. I believe I don't have it in front of me, so I don't want to quote the exact figure.
It's either 100 or 118.
I believe it's 100. Cool.
That's wonderful. Will that be the award that's going to CMA?
No, I don't
know. No, I mean, it's the landscaping and then the equipment that we brought forward about a month ago and presented to the public in terms of what items would be brought into the park.
That's different.
That's different.
That's many events.
I believe that it's been awarded to the borough, which we will use to pay those.
And it doesn't mean that the borough wouldn't decide. Maybe the open space committee would commit additional funds to that. So it doesn't mean that it would just be $100,000 or $118,000. It would. We want to build.
Okay. Yeah. I'd recommend that we begin with some kind of cost budgeting of $118,000 for the park, and that allocation would be boxed into that number. If the community input, maybe we expand it out. Okay, and maybe we even go back to New Jersey Natural Gas and buy more funding.
No, I appreciate you saying that, and I believe you attended the meeting that we had here when we had public comment, and at that time I also said that the borough was not necessarily opposed to adding funding to doing that at
so
that
where,
time.
Where we stand right now is I think the public is not too clear on when the next meetings are and what that process is.
I believe you're copied on emails today that talked about that there would be additional process, but so thank you for asking the question so the public is informed.
So I'm asking that question, but we also need specificity of where we run into problems as a community, because we don't get specific with setting up specific follow-up dates and give the public enough time to give comment. So my recommendation is you guys can take that up and get specific with the calendar and specific times where the rest of the community can come in.
As part of my open space report, I will definitely be doing exactly
it's,
that.
It's not directed to you in the
room. Oh, not.
It's directed to everybody.
Mm-hmm. Thank you
for the coaching.
Mr. Brokaw, just to expand on your first question, you had asked about the roads with New Jersey Natural Gas. Excuse me. I know that previous Administrator Kubney had done it, and I believe Mr. Farragina is doing it as well. But when they do come in to, let's say, pave one section of road, if there's oftentimes a section needs to be paved, I know that you've worked on it in the past, and Adam did the same thing. If it's feasible and it's within the budget to extend that a little bit while they have the pavers on site, rather than just lugging the equipment back out, if it's within the budget and it's part of our road program, we actually look at that because it is cost savings, rather than just bringing the equipment out just to pave one section of road. So that type of stuff does get analyzed when they do pull permits. So
yeah, I think the town does a great job with the budget it has. I think where the shortcoming is. Because I don't know if there's a command and control and process for New Jersey Natural Gas when it's about the roads to keep them honest. And right. I can only speak in on my streets, which is Summit, Keystone, and Eastmount. I'm not too sure that they're playing ball the right way. And big, gotcha. Big numbers. So we're all about saving money and stretching the buck. I think we need a process in place to keep everybody honest and try to advocate for what they're doing.
In our case, Tom, because we share some of the same roadway, where when those streets were cracked, it was before we passed the ordinance here that New Jersey Gas has got to do the full roadway, and that's why only half was paved at the time.
I'm not too sure. That's the thing. I hear what you're saying. I'm just not too sure what I raised was last time is what was the exact date of that ordinance, and then match it up on permits because. Shortcutting on repairs by other players is what they did. You know,
I'm certain of it because I know I had a conversation with Adam Hubany about it, and I think others did too. And I know exact, I mean, I can't tell you the exact date when our street was cracked, but the, what we did here was after that, because enough of us had noticed, look, this is an issue, and so we got smart about it.
What the issue was always is they didn't seal off the road. Even if they did have, they didn't do it the right way. They never hot sealed it up. Mm-hmm. And what happened is that the reason for it that building goes down the road. So roads are breaking down. It's in fact somebody that has been on the balance sheet.
Yeah. Okay.
Can go ahead and do it. Then we let them go.
Great.
Okay, thank you.
Good evening, Ashley Cruz, 124 Wesley Avenue. Comment, but kind of a question about the South Avenue Park improvements. Just a comment, if there isn't any public workshop going into the conceptual design phase, I bet you a bunch of other people of the public and citizens and we would love to have that opportunity.
We've already did one workshop for and the people planning, that
yeah. Many minds.
We need to do another.
Over on South. We have.
Not be at 3:30 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Some
people
go to work.
I don't know if you can do that.
You don't know?
I don't know. Okay. No, I yeah.
Could we, as a community, decide in the best interest of the community to have these used by businesses and serving the community actively?
I doubt it. I don't know. I don't know. But I somebody owns a license. I know it's usually a valuable asset. So.
But it's not being used. Is it a valuable asset?
Happens all the time.
What
that people have licenses that are that are not being used.
Right, but as mm-hmm. a
yeah.
Would you have the ability
I don't
to
think
say
so.
That we don't want to raise any more because
yeah.
actually
use it? I doubt it. And
can we look into it before we pass this? Because I know there are several businesses that need a lot to the community that have been asking about this
yeah.
and it's going to be a whole year. Maybe
you won't
have these businesses anymore.
So one thing we have to consider in exploring something like that is whenever the word eminent domain comes up in the state of New Jersey,
yeah. I think she was using an analogy.
Right.
Yeah.
So but whenever yeah. you're whenever there's an interest to take something away from a business owner or a resident that could lead to significant litigation. Which could
you're going on renewal, right? So can't you choose not to renew? Just like we've gone in a different direction. Sorry.
I don't know. That's something
yeah.
that the attorney yeah. would have to look into. But the point I'm making is that, you know, shall we explore that? Let's also keep an open mind that it could lead to significant financial costs to the borough in litigation.
Okay, that's fair. Could we push this until we answer the question about whether or not you are capable of doing that without legal?
No, if there's a time constraint, so.
I know some of the licenses are being pursued now, and one of the complications are, depending on the type of license, type of business, they don't always match either. So there's a problem with that, too. So even if we were to do that, they would have to match up to the type of business.
Yeah,
and it'd be pretty complicated.
Yeah,
and it's impossible, but it's
yeah. And furthermore,
it would take a long time.
I believe, and Jason could correct me if I'm wrong, if he knows, but that the individual or the business wouldn't relinquish the license, they would
yep.
have to sell it, right?
Right.
So, and there's a value to that, and whatever that figure may or may not be could be substantial, and whatever businesses that may be interested in purchasing may or may not have the funds to do so. So it's a complex exercise, but again, it's if legal counsel wants to look into it and the governing body wants to entertain him looking into it, that's
you
fine.
You can't hold specific licenses?
No.
This is the same thing as the FEMA thing. You don't pass it today when everyone's in trouble.
So I think your intentions are good. I think that this is an asset owned by a business owner,
right.
And as a governing body, we are not placed to tell that.
He just told me he doesn't actually know for a fact that he would be leaving.
So the question, I believe,
yeah. But the other question is it right to take someone's private property, though? I mean, in this regard, like I could see a road, you could see for a school.
Yeah.
But it's a property right. So it's complicated. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. It's a property right, though, and that's where the value comes from. And, I mean, I don't know if I'm ready. I think we should encourage them first. Before we go out and take, I don't want someone coming taking my property away, in my house or yours. You know, if they're going to, I think Victorian Woods, let's make it a parking lot. Guess what, Morgan, you're out of there, right?
I tried to remove from the Grand Pier Village.
And I do too, and I was so anti that. Yeah. That, yeah.
I'm asking for you to be a little bit imaginative.
Yeah. There are people pursuing it, and I'm actually trying to help one, so to try to coax that, that's why I'm going that route. And we need to do that.
Has been expressed by many people before me. I mean, I don't believe it's purposeful, but there does seem to be a lack of transparency, and if there had been a conversation.
Why is there a lack of transparency?
I mean, this is happening right now. I said, well, it's too late. You need to report.
I don't agree with your characterization of the resolution. You asked if we could eminent domain someone's liquor license that they own and paid for. I said, I didn't know. Right. Now there's a resolution not to renew existing licenses, which, if the council doesn't pass it, would require. Something to happen with the licenses that are already held by other people who paid money for it. So that's the context. I don't think there's anything that's not transparent because obviously we're here talking about it.
And it's an annual, an annual thing. So it's on pretty much the same agenda this month.
Right.
My main question was out of government, like, is there a way without legal consequences to push what is best for the community ahead of what is best for individual business owners or license holders? That's my main question, and I can't.
Ms. Fischer, if there is someone who, I would add, if someone does want to pursue a liquor license, there may be one available. You never know. The best option would be to call the Borough Hall, you know, during business hours and speak with Michelle. Yeah. And, you know, maybe there one comes available and that individual may get one.
Here's a silly question. Is there like a waiting list or some sort? Or
I don't know.
No. You know what happens?
The liquor license.
Yeah. Some people have it.
But we do have someone who's interested in selling.
Yeah. And we have someone who wants to buy one in town, too. So that's, and we need to encourage that.
Well, also, Ms. Spicer, with the comment about transparency in regards to these licenses, so here they are on the agenda, and to Councilwoman Holtliner's point, and also to Councilman Brockie's point, if one is pocketed or it's inactive at this point, you now, or anybody sitting here, or anybody listening, now knows who owns these, and you have a year to either try to buy or convince them to sell. So it's here, and it's always being renewed. So that's, I think that's sort of the heads up of what do you want to do? You've got a year now to try to have some sort of action taken. That makes sense.
No questions? Zoom?
No
answers. Okay. So let's, the consent agenda, we are going to pull Resolution 106, 2022, and we'll be doing that on its own. And the consent agenda, these items will be enacted by one motion. If detailed deliberation is desired on any item, council may remove that item from the consent agenda and consider it separately. Basically what we just did. Resolution 107, renewal of the liquor licenses, 2022-2023 term. The resolution 108, authorizing submission and execution of the grant contract with the NJDOT. Resolution 109, awarding engineering services for the 2022 New Jersey DOT road improvement. Resolution 110, awarding engineering services for South Avenue Park improvements. And resolution 111, payment of bills, $349,649.95. I need a motion and a second.
Crowley moves.
Second.
A discussion? Okay, roll call.
Mr. Murphy?
Yes.
Ms. Hohenleitner?
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty?
Yes.
Mr. Crowley?
Yes.
Mr. Barakia?
Yes.
Mr. Baum?
Yes.
Thank you.
Items on the consent agenda have passed. Resolution 106, authorizing filing petition to the Commissioner of Education. I need a motion.
I'll move it.
Second.
Okay. And discussion?
I had two questions, and I think they're pretty straightforward and quick.
Okay.
One question was, and I'm so glad we're finally here. one question was just in the last paragraph of the resolution as it's written right now. We are directing our attorney to work with the other attorneys for the Boards of Ed and the other towns on the final petition. And so my question is just, our attorney is going to meet with our finance committee so we can talk.
Mm-hmm. So just to clarify, when Councilwoman Hohenleitner refers to our attorney, we're talking about Special Counsel Giacobbe, who was assigned for this project.
Yeah, not Jason.
Right. And the answer to your question is yes. Now, the attorney will be in communication with the Finance Committee as much as the Finance Committee wants to be in communication and requests communication with him, as well as obtaining the input and guidance from the Finance Committee and or...
Mm-hmm. We want to be involved in every step of it.
Yeah, and or the governing body as a whole. So,
right. And our commitment, of course, will be to keep our colleagues informed.
Right. Correct.
And the public.
Correct.
And then my second question is semi-related, because I thought about it the other day. The Poizio study that we contributed to, I think it's like $27,000 in billing.
It was 20.
It's more than that. So we've paid Poizio more than that. Seabright applied on behalf of the three municipalities for a LEAP grant to reimburse, correct? They took the lead on that?
Mm-hmm.
So have we been reimbursed for any portion of that as a municipality yet?
I'd have to connect with HFA and have them check the system.
Okay.
Obviously, that happened before my time, but I will look into it and get back to you.
I just remembered that. I remember that. Like I've been reviewing the timeline, and I really appreciate
good
that.
Point.
So
yeah, and I believe it was 20 grand plus additional fees at different times, which totaled 20 something thousand. So
sorry.
That's a good question. I'll look into that with HFA.
I have just a couple of points. What I think is important for the public to understand, and by the way, I'm for regionalization that benefits our students' scholastic experience. I'm for regionalization that protects our taxpayers. There's a councilman who misquoted me, and I resent it, a couple weeks ago saying that I wasn't for regionalization. I was never for regionalization as proposed by the Poizio plan. I think that was a bad plan for Atlantic Highlands, for our taxpayers. There were no guaranteed savings in that. I'm not exactly ecstatic about what we report here that the Poizio said, because again, at the risk of repeating myself, there was no guaranteed savings outlined in that plan. But I'm good with this. I wish that it did say somewhere along here that we'll be looking out for the benefit of our taxpayers and an enhanced scholastic experience. I trust that the Boards of Ed will be taking care of all that and all their negotiations. I do think it's important for the public to know this is a nice gesture, but what really counts is the Boards of Ed are sitting down, and I know they had a meeting today, and they're the ones hammering out a funding formula and how this all gets done, and they're going to petition the superintendent for the Department of Ed.
Actually, I beg to differ on that. We discussed the funding formula, and you and I had lunch, so that's something we are going to do as well.
Yeah,
because if that's lopsided, we all need to be part of that.
Yes.
Our residents.
I agree. It's members of our finance that will be sitting with other BAs, other mayors, and hammering that all
right
out. But the point that I was making is that the Boards of Ed will be putting that mm-hmm forward, and that'll be going to the superintendent of the Department of Education. That's what really matters. This signals, I think, to the superintendent that we're on board with mm-hmm moving forward. And I think the Keene report was the only report that showed a way forward for our town to be protected, where the Poizio plan did not. And I'm sure all of you will be working with that, and we'll be transparent, we'll be sharing that. But there's one point here that I wouldn't mind having clarified, which is the Keene report makes it very clear
that the boards of ed will be putting forward a special school education, sorry, a special school election. They'll be putting that forward, and that's where the referendum is going to be coming from. And I think that was a point of conversation today in your meetings, that the municipalities won't be doing that. It will not in a general election. And so I think that, that's a point that could be, I think, clarified here in the end.
So
it's not an at-large election.
I mean, I think you're referring to the timing of the election, right?
Well, no, it's not really the timing, because the school,
like when
the school
it happens.
It's really how it happens, the mechanism that we're putting in here, that it's a general election held by the municipality. It's really a school election that's forwarded by the boards of education.
The referendum that we're going to be putting? It's collaboration with the board of ed. I mean, we're all going, moving forward. We're working together for one goal. They're going to be passing their resolutions, like each board of ed, the 13th, 14th, and 15th. And after that, we had a meeting today with Dr. Beams. She'll be putting the petition submission in for the 20th. And in the end, we're hoping to have the language knocked out with our, we had the meeting today with Dr. Beams, August 1st. So that it can go to a referendum in November. Now, if you're saying the language between, what is it, like combining, or like the...
I'm just talking about the timing.
Oh. Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, Councilor,
no, it's November.
I'm just asking.
Are you asking about the school board election?
No, I'll read to you from page.
That's what it sounded like for a second. You were talking about the.
So, if I could just interject just for 1 second to provide a little clarity to everyone. So, the resolution that's at hand this evening is not a vote on which of the two studies is better. It has nothing to do with that. It's a vote on whether to ask the Commissioner of Education to move forward with putting a referendum on the ballot. And that is exactly what.
Which
we're doing.
Legal prerequisite
right.
to do
it's a legal so. Prerequisite, exactly. And that's what we're doing, and that's what the other two municipalities are doing, and that's what the Board of Education is in support of. So I just want to, the waters can get muddled pretty quickly. So that's the clarity in the whole picture here.
And I'm not disputing any of that. I'm not raising that issue. What I'm just saying is, point of clarification for the third to last paragraph. In this report, it says that in the event the proposal is to convert the existing limited-purpose regional district to an all-purpose one, the regional board must, by resolution, frame and adopt a proposal to that effect for submission to the voters at any school election of each of the constituent districts of the regional district instead of a at-large to the voters of the regional district. So I'm just asking for a point of clarification on that, that it's not an at-large. The school boards will do a special school election.
What's the significance in that?
Well, for one, the department, I mean, this isn't a huge deal, but the Department of Education then pays for that election.
Okay.
It's well, then not on the hands.
Well, that's pretty significant.
That's a significant point.
I
agree with that.
I think that the details of how and when the elections occur and where they occur and what have you, I think at this point is a little bit premature. Because
well, the language is important.
The first step is to conduct the studies, which were done. The second step was to see if the municipalities and the Board of Ed are all in alignment with a resolution and the wording within a resolution, which we're at that point. Mm-hmm. The next step is to pass those resolutions. The next step after that is to begin dialogue, discussion, collaboration, have the attorneys start getting involved as well.
So a special counsel will talk to the school board council, correct. And then if it has to change, I'll change it.
That's correct.
And
there are fluid elements.
This really just gets us over the hurdle.
Correct.
So we can move forward.
Always been.
And frankly, I think this was important from another point of view, is that if for some reason the Board of Ed said, or Department of Education said no, we wasted a lot of time. Right, so it is nice to just have this and get an answer from them, and then we can move forward quickly and at least know that it's going to happen.
To clarify, this is not the petition. to the Board of Education, to Commissioner of Education.
Exactly.
So it's being negotiated, that is, there's collaboration, there's working together.
Right.
That's not what this is.
That's why it's taking it to June 20th to write that.
Understood.
And Dr. Beans will be.
Yep.
Just authorizing that action.
Right.
Got it.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Okay. So, are we good? Okay. So, roll call. I said a motion in a second. Discussion, now roll call.
Distracted by the fly.
Okay. Mr. Murphy?
Mayor, actually, you may have noticed I've refrained from much conversation on this topic, and I will be abstaining from votes.
Recusing.
Sorry, John, we had that backwards. Due to a potential conflict with my wife being on the Board of Education in town, any potential conflict I would like to avoid, so I will abstain from this vote.
To recuse yourself.
Recuse. Why do I keep saying that? It's the fly. It's the fly.
It's the fly.
Ms. Hahnleitner?
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty?
Yes.
Mr. Crowley?
Yes.
Mr. Barakian?
Yes.
Mr. Bombs?
Yes.
Resolution 106, 2022. This started back in 2018 under Mayor McGrice. We have come a long way, and I want to thank everyone that has been so helpful in getting it to this point. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So, Ordinance 922, it's the cannabis. This is just an introduction.
So, yeah, that's a good point, Mayor. This is just to introduce the ordinance. We'll have a public hearing, obviously, after it's published. This is a land use ordinance, so it's got to go to the land use board for a consistency review with the borough's master plan. So once you do that tonight, they'll go before the land use board, they'll do their thing, and then at the appropriate time, we'll have the public hearing and possible adoption.
Yeah, the planning board is on the 7th. And then the public hearing possible adoption will be July 14th. Okay? So, did we make a motion?
Not yet.
Okay, I need a motion. Do you want to move it?
Yes.
I'll second. Okay. So, roll call. Mr. Murphy?
No.
Ms. Hahnleitner?
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty?
Yes.
Mr. Crowley?
Yes.
Mr. Barakian?
Yes.
Mr. Bombs?
I'm going to be recusing myself due to the fact that after 18 years as a realtor in the state of New Jersey, I've shown property to people in town who originally indicated they were using the space as a retail, and since then, subsequently, after showing the property, have come back and said they're going to use it for cannabis, and due to a conflict, I've saved myself.
Because you used to potentially stand to gain financially should they rent the space, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I agree with that.
Ordinance 09, 2022 has been properly introduced. Public hearing and possible adoption July 14th. Thank you. And now, reports.
DPW Mayor, Street Department is conducting brush pickup. Zone 1 and Zone 4 have been completed. Anything out now in Zone 1 and 4 is a violation and code enforcement will be issued. Buildings and grounds, DPW is out conducting weed and overgrowth control with a frail mower, also using weed whackers and also handheld tools. Water and sewer, department has daily flows climbing as we enter into the summer months, mostly due to pools, lawns, sprinklers, etc. Vehicle maintenance, our technicians are keeping very busy repairing and serving the borough's equipment. Our new sanitation truck will be in service shortly. Recycling, we are asking the residents to correctly sort and process recycling on the routes and at the borough yard. Please see the borough calendar for additional info on recycling instructions. Reminder, political signs cannot be posted on borough property. We are asking all groups that put out the political signs have the time to remove them. Please take that time. We thank you and the many groups that did a fantastic job removing them already. Please refer to Borough Calendar for any schedules or borough information. Any issues, please call Jimmy Phillips, 848-444-0067. I do not have anything to add for first aid. I will leave fire and OEM for other councilmen. And as far as recreation goes, Mayor, we've got a few things happening. We've got some basketball clinics, which we'll conduct, which will be happening July 20th, July 27th, and August 3rd for ages K through 3rd. We've also got July 12th through August 4th for grades 4th through 7th. Please see the website for further information on that. Summer recreation will begin from July 5th to July 12th. You may also refer to the website for further information. And that's it for me, Mayor.
Can we introduce our leader of recreation? Being here?
Sure.
Okay. Just so everyone knows, Mr. Whitehead is in charge of recreation in the town. So.
I think it's the second year.
I know. Welcome to a meeting, Mr. Whitehead.
Yes.
I have a lot, so I'm probably going to talk fast. And Steve, I'll give you the finance part of Harbor and the leases, maybe, because I've got a lot. Exciting news at our meeting. We had renderings from the yacht club for potential creating a rooftop deck. The renderings are beautiful. They're still continuing to work on them, but it's exciting for the yacht club as a tenant in the harbor. We have other exciting news, which is that AMC is going to be potentially shooting film on one of the docks. We've got to work out some details with them, but it's at least a 3-day shoot. And there was concern when we passed the fee schedule as to whether people would want to film here, and it looks like a big company, you know, big network is looking to film here, so that's very good news. We're looking forward to the Fireman's Fair in July, and I'll leave the rest for Steve. From personnel, we just reposted a position for it's the administrative assistant to the borough administrator, and I just want to, we've had conversations in the personnel committee. I hope that when we're looking to fill that position that we follow the police department's lead and think about the diversity of our office and as we make that hiring decision. So
no,
request on that.
So the answer to that is yes. And also we have received a handful of applications thus far.
Great.
And we will definitely be looking into diversification.
Great. Shade Tree, we last night judged the Shade Tree, last year's Shade Tree Arbor Day contest, poster contest. Unfortunately, they're not going to have the awards assembly at the school this year, but Ms. Northrup is going to be distributing the winners and the prizes for them. But this whole space last night was filled with beautiful art for our kids. The theme was plant a tree, get a tune for free. So it was really cute. And we're going to, in partnership with the Arts Council next year, we're going to have a much stronger partnership with the school, because there's a lot of pressure on Ms. Northrup to get this done, part of the curriculum, in a short amount of time. But there was discussion about tree removal, and I think that Shade Tree is going to be looking to the mayor and council to talk about what the processes are and perhaps some education when various trees are removed throughout town. And what our process is, because we do have a process and a permitting process, but there was some concern brought to that meeting. We may hear it in public comment later. We will have an open space meeting this coming Wednesday. We'll meet here at Borough Hall at 6:30. And I just wanted to give a quick announcement. The library, in partnership with I'm just gonna read this. Children of all ages are invited to a Juneteenth story hour at the Atlantic Highlands Public Library on Saturday, June 18th at 10 a.m. Local youth leaders will read selections including Juneteenth, A Celebration of Freedom, Opal Lee and What It Means to Be Free, and Juneteenth's Jamboree. They will lead the children in a fun participatory group activity and refreshments will be served. Juneteenth offers us a chance to reflect on our history and to help the young people in our life understand the significance of this important holiday. The event's co-sponsored by the Atlantic Highlands Library and the Atlantic Highlands for Equity and Justice Group. And if you're interested, if you've seen some of the signs, the anti-racist pledge signs throughout town, and you're interested in signing up for that, please reach out to me, or there's a website that you can, it's easily Googleable. And I, one of the most recent signatories to that was Chief Reinhardt, so I really appreciate that, the chief's support on that. There's a lot of Juneteenth events throughout Monmouth County, including a whole weekend celebration in Freehold. Long Branch Public Library is having an event. Red Bank's having a huge event with food trucks. So it's just a great celebration, and it's a second Independence Day for our country. And then lastly, once again, I'm wearing orange. It's the violence and the gun violence in our community. This is where orange, this is the month that we talk about it. I'm wearing it. Unfortunately, a ribbon that was made 2 years ago for me to wear up here. So I'm just reminded again that we've got school children that are just down the street, and thank you to our police department for, as Mr. Dougherty said at the last meeting, protecting our kids. But enough.
Do we have any idea what the school's doing in response to that? Are we going to get a report on that? Because I was going to send an email to Dr. Beans, but I'm wondering if anybody already knows.
I have talked extensively to Chief Reinhardt about it, but I think Brian's, are you going to report on this?
No.
They are speaking.
There's conversation being had.
Yeah.
About.
Yeah.
So I'm staying in my lane, except.
No, you're fine. Go ahead.
Yeah. No. I'm just saying, like, there's, we have to protect our kids.
Yeah, it has to be addressed.
The chief has reached out to the superintendent, is waiting for reply.
Thank you.
Okay. Not much to report tonight, Mayor. Fire EMS, the next EMS task force meeting will be held on Wednesday, June 22nd. I'm going to leave planning board to the end. Environmental Commission has not met since our last meeting. Its next meeting will be scheduled for Tuesday, June 28th, 7 p.m. here in Borough Hall. Shade Tree, nothing to add to Councilman Hohenleitner's report. Parking Committee will meet next Thursday, June 16th at 7:30, where we will have our new normal conversation, among other discussions. And the planning board met last Thursday, June 2nd. Three applications were on the agenda and all were carried to the July meeting, so July is going to be a busy one. But the board participated in what was a new type of review, in my experience. It was a conceptual review of a proposed multifamily development at 160 First Avenue. There is no completed formal application yet. And so I was looking into this, and I actually realized this is part of our general code. This can be requested by an applicant. So I've been on planning board for 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so the code says, as part of the pre-application process, at the request of the applicant, the planning board shall grant an informal review of a concept plan for development for which the applicant intends to prepare and submit an application for development. The purpose of the concept plan is to provide planning board input in the formative stages of subdivision and site plan design. So I want to reiterate, there is no formal application yet. It is a large development, it's at least in its current concept, it's 30 mm-hmm. apartments on that corner. But when and if a formal application for this property is set to come before the board, I will endeavor to keep the public informed via these reports. So
you said 30?
30.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's it.
All right, thank you.
Councilman, can I ask,
sure.
What's the parking situation like proposed at this point?
So my understanding is there's a new part of the municipal land use law that grants extra credit for parking spaces for EV chargers. So I don't have the numbers in front of me. My understanding is they provided 54 parking spaces where 59 or 60 are required. So it's a fairly close ratio. It doesn't quite meet it. But again, it's not a completed application. So the idea of this concept review is there was a formative back and forth between the members of the board. And so then they will go off to their respective corners and perhaps rearrange or redesign their plan.
Is it taller than, are they asking for any variances on height?
I did not see a CME report. There wasn't an official application to analyze. Mm-hmm. So it was, I believe it's four stories, but it's conceptual.
And it's basically where Mike's Liquor,
correct.
Right, it's in that lot right
that
there.
That lot right there.
Yes. Got it. Okay. Is it connecting? Is it conjoined with 158 in any way?
Or it wasn't clear from the renderings. It wasn't clear if it was joined, if it was just adjacent.
Okay.
It is not. It's not a completed application, but it was just some reporting on it was a conceptual review. So there is no official action before the board, so that's why I could discuss it here. Mm-hmm. But just in terms of public education and for people to kind of know this may be coming. And this was, I found it extremely interesting that, you know, this is part of the development regulations, part of the pre-application process. And, you know, it was an interesting give and take.
Yeah, thanks for sharing. Sure.
You bet.
Me?
Yeah.
Let's see. But in terms of recreation, I'll just say that we're supposed to be having another free movie night down at the, down on the lawn, down in the marina at the very end of the month. Rob, Mayor, I'll present some titles. I always like to let the public sort of help pick what movies we show. And they're always sort of retro movies because I don't like to compete with our theater, you know, and we don't show retro titles there. So, you know, maybe the original Top Gun, now that everybody's seen Maverick. So maybe that was a big winner last year. We couldn't get it, so maybe we can get it this year. Technology, the only thing I'll add is that there's more training going on next Thursday. I'll be part of that. Michelle, I think you might be joining, and Beth might be joining, and anybody else in Borough Hall. So we're shooting for next Thursday on that so that we can get our new system up and running. That's it.
Okay, thank you.
Harbor, overall, revenues are looking good with 9% year over year. We keep growing every year, which is a nice thing. We haven't had a down year in several years. The nice thing is, in light of the fact that we're losing headboats, we lost two last year. What we're also doing to look at increasing revenue is adding the moorings. I mentioned that last meeting. We did get estimates. Rich White went ahead and did that. There are two types of estimates. We have one for helixes, and we have another one for 800-pound pyramid weights. The pyramid weights are actually much cheaper, like a magnitude cheaper. And they're about $2,800 each installed. So if we put 10 of them, we're running around just under $30,000. We get $2,700 a year per boat or per sailboat. And really, that's a quick payout. It's within a year. There's also a possibility we can get that paid by county, having to do with Rumson Bridge. But that's not 100%. But even if that doesn't come through, I think it's a good thing to move forward with on that regard. As far as finance goes, we talked about the bond and the bonding, and I was in your last meeting, but that was approved. One thing about debt, you know, I'm always careful about debt, but when debt's incurred for the right reason, it's good. If it matches the capital improvement in terms of the time and the frequency, like the roads would, you have a long bond, and you have the roads, then it's an appropriate use of debt. The nice thing is we have grants that are actually going to pay for most of this. So my understanding is we're going to, if we enter into this, we're going to get the grants. We're going to be able to pay it off actually quicker. So that's going to help us quite a bit. We'll get the road improvements, and we'll do it at virtually, well, very little cost, right, Doug, based on what we're seeing, if that works out.
Agreed.
Yeah. Personnel, Laura, you covered that. Technology, we met last night. Some people were traveling. But we looked at the website, and it's progressing nicely. It's looking pretty good. One of the things we looked at, though, and we're going to ask help from the borough and some of the employees, is when you're on a website, you hit a drop-down dialog, and you get a bunch of choices. Well, we have a lot of choices right now. And so we're going to ask some of the borough members to take a look at that and say what really fits under what department better to try to streamline it. And, you know, it's kind of funny because the further along you get into it, the more complicated it is because it's very detail-oriented then. In the beginning, it's just like a big, you know, the big picture. You kind of throw together the site and the mechanics of it. But when you start getting into the details and you want to make it easy for people to use and to read and navigate, and not get disgusted and then, you know, maybe not come back to it again. It really is like some real fine tuning. So we're moving along with that. We'll be contacting, I already talked to Mr. Ferragina about that. So as we get closer, we're going to start putting that together. But it's really going to be, several months anyway, really. It's not something that's going to be thrown together immediately. Open space, that was addressed. And cannabis, you know, we did... if you haven't seen the ordinance is pretty tight.
It was just an introduction.
Right, right. But if you haven't read it, because
it'll be public now.
Right. Well, when you read it, it's pretty tight.
What do you mean by tight, Councilman?
It's got to be reviewed by the fire marshal, police chief, borough administrator initially to make sure they understand what's going on. It's a committee that we're going to have. They're going to identify the, you know, each applicant, really get to know them, point and look at, and really determine where they are in terms of their understanding of this and how good an operator they're going to be. Because we really, if we do this, and if somebody does, we may not have any applicants, right?
But it's also reviewed by the, in addition to all of that, it's also reviewed by the zoning officer.
Right, and the zoning. Zoning is actually by statute the first person you go to. But, so they're going to look at this because we have to, as council, may have a resolution affirming a particular candidate for license when this occurs.
The process, too.
Right. And so they're essentially going to give us, you know, take the time behind the scenes and day to day and their jobs, really look at this and try to identify these people. And it's actually a screening mechanism, which is good. There's also some enforcement. We have the right to take a license away if somebody grossly violates any of the rules or regulations. But as far as the retail, we're looking at possibly a retail and a manufacturing site. The manufacturing sounds big. It's really not. It's a small operation. Probably fits in a room like we're in now. And, you know, overall, I know in Eatontown, what did they make a month approximately? It's about $40,000 a month. That's a big operation. I don't think we would do that. But I think it will definitely improve our bottom line. And the way we're setting it up, it'll be very, very minimal in terms of any impact to parking. And for the most part, you won't even know it's there. So
I don't agree with that, Councilman.
All right. Well,
how you would compare
anybody? If I'm open to questions. If anybody's got or wants to talk to me offline, I'd be happy to talk about it. Or I'm sure Lori would too, in terms of how it's being structured.
Have a public hearing about it.
Yeah, but I don't mind if you want to talk a little more and just get into a little more into the weeds on it. That's no pun intended. We can do that.
Well played.
For police. Department's looking to fill a crossing guard position for the 2022-2023 school season. Starting September, the crossing detail would be every day of school at the intersection of First Avenue and East Washington. Please stop by headquarters for an application. Completed applications can be returned to the department headquarters. Another note, the National Highway Traffic Safety Authority, motor vehicles stolen every 43 seconds in the U.S. We've seen a lot of it in the news recently. Just a reminder, take your key fobs, make sure your vehicles are locked. The department's excited to participate in the Monmouth County Prosecutor's Office Safe Place Program. You'll start seeing stickers around town on some of our businesses. The program's designed as a partnership with local businesses, providing safe space for the reporting of bias incidents and hate crimes. Participating locations will have a brightly colored decal at the entrance area to show the location. Will provide a safe environment to individuals to call 911 for assistance. Lastly, the Police Department PBA would like to thank everyone who came out to support the PBA ball. Councilman Doherty has reported on the EMS being moved to the 22nd, and OEM Director Weimer has been continuing to do her training, and she's been doing an excellent job alerting all departments, especially with all the inclement weather we've seen and the recent rains. She's been doing a great job keeping us up to date on everything and making sure the DPW is alert and trucks are fueled. And Jim, I don't know if he's still here, has been doing a great job making sure there's guys on standby.
Okay.
Especially with last night's rain, it was a great havoc.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right, thank you. Administrators, nobody brought up the bear?
Bear's gone. The bear's gone.
He's an old dog.
Benny the bear.
Oh, and lastly, as Councilman Butler said, the chief is in contact with Dr. Beams, so they are trying to work out some solutions up there. I know he's waiting for her to get back to her. We'll get back to him, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Doug, do you want me to go or do you want to go?
You go.
Sure. First thing is, to that point, the chief has proactively been in contact with the school, and so I applaud and thank him for reaching out, making contact, and keeping the dialogue open on that front. The next item is I, as well as I think everyone here, attended the PBA ball. Local 10 did a fantastic, I'm sorry, Local 242?
Mm-hmm.
242. Local 242 did a fantastic job, and it was wonderful to see so many people. There. We probably have the largest PBA ball in the state, I would think. At least that's what I heard, so that's pretty impressive. I hope they raised a lot of money. Next item is on May 30th, I attended the Atlantic Islands Memorial Day Parade. All participants did a great job. Special thank you to the organizers, as well as DPW, police, and especially the veterans. On Tuesday, May 31st, I had a meeting with JCP&L, Representative Frank Luna, to discuss the lights on Route 36, as well as the importance to the residents of response time for emergencies. On Wednesday, June 1st, I attended the Pride flag raising in front of Borough Hall. On Saturday, June 4th, I attended the blessing of the fleet at the harbor along with the mayor. Thank you to the Atlantic Islands Yacht Club for the invitation and for putting a wonderful event on. On Monday, June 6th, I attended, along with Mayor Gluckstein and Council Representatives Bombs, Hohen, Leitner, and Murphy, the Earl Naval Base 80th anniversary of the Battle of Midway commemoration and Battle of Midway Park rededication ceremony. World War II veterans ranging in age from 95 to 104 were in attendance. It was an honor to attend and represent Atlantic Highlands. Participated in the HIF, which is the Health Insurance Fund meeting, held via Zoom yesterday morning. Next item, the Bayshore Trail from the east end of the harbor to Papamora Point will be closed for trail maintenance on June 14th, just that day.
Okay.
The harbor yard crew and Monmouth County Park System personnel will be working together to flail, mow, and weed whack the fragomites that are overgrown on the trail. We are putting signs up at the 4th Avenue entrance and on the east end of the harbor at the gate to inform the public. The borough received $11,812 from the state for the fiscal year 2022 Clean Communities Grant. The Board of County Commissioners, Department of Public Works and Engineering has approved and will permit the closing of County Route 8, which is First Avenue, between Highland and Day Avenues from 8 to 5, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. on June 18th for the Atlantic Islands Chamber Car Show. Aesthetic improvements will continue throughout the summer months in the borough proper as well as the harbor. And the last item here is the mayor and council picture for this current mayor and council has been added to the wall of fame over there to my left.
Ooh.
And thank you to our clerk, Michelle Clark, for taking care of that initiative.
Thank you.
And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. Very briefly, based on the award resolutions for the engineering services tonight, I'll mobilize my survey crews immediately for South Ave and the municipal roads associated with this year's road program. And with the resolution of support for the submission of next year's DOT grant application, we'll have plenty of time to get that application submitted. That's all I have for
tonight. Okay, thank you.
Well, Mayor, if I could say one other thing I forgot. Thank you to all the parents who helped bring their children to Highlands over the weekend with the cardboard boat race. It was a huge success, and I know a few of the residents here were there, and I know it was a great event for the kids, and I just wanted to say thank you, especially to Mr. Passaro, who allowed me to store the trailer, which had all the cardboard in his yard for a little while, and he also assisted. So thanks for all who came out, and thanks for all who helped. Perfect.
Nothing for me tonight, Mayor. Thank you.
So, thanks. Now, we're moving on to public comment. Once again, come forward.
Before we begin, I just want to remind everyone that the issue of the cannabis, there will be a workshop on that item.
You mean a public hearing?
Public hearing.
Right.
Thank you. There will be a public hearing on that item. So, I just want to remind everyone. Mm-hmm.
Hey there, Katrina UC 124 Wesley Ave. I'm just curious which committee or whatever group to work with in order to talk about a new townwide event called National Night Out. I had it at Larger City and it was just really cool.
You're right.
Yeah, to get to.
I know that my daughter lives down in Egg Harbor, and they do a really big festival.
Yeah.
It's a festival.
Yeah.
So
would it be red?
That would,
red?
No, it would be the.
That'd be
the
chief.
It's
yeah.
Police event.
Right.
Red Bank does it.
Mm-hmm. Owl does a huge one as well.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I just, it's a great way to get to know the police department and really just to get to know our neighbors, because otherwise, we should all get together, but it really just doesn't happen. So,
Yeah,
if, I don't know, if there's a specific council or whatever.
Speak with the chief.
Mm-hmm.
I'll
connect you.
On the website.
All right. Yeah, you did.
Mickey Rass, 49 8th Avenue. First, I want to, this, it's a maybe a question, but a comment also. And I'm glad to see the police chief is here because I need to speak to him regarding that, and I think the council also needs to know. Just before I start, I just want to say that I'm a mother and a grandmother, and I'm not against children, but I am against children who ride their bikes and older adults and the skateboards on First Avenue. It is a mess, and now with the summer coming in, it's worse. You can't even open a door, and these kids are coming down the sidewalk. We learned, when it's during the horse and buggy time when I was in school, you got off your bike and you walked it when you were on the sidewalk. You could not ride your bikes on the sidewalk. I was told by two previous chiefs that we did not have an ordinance for that. There has been many problems, and I think, Regina, you, were you there the day that Ginger Lovis was coming out of 65th Avenue with the door? She almost got hit, and the door almost came off. It was really, we have older people on First Avenue, children, mothers with carriages. We have a lot of things going on First Avenue.
Right.
I know if the town was rebuilt, it would be great to add a bike lane, but we cannot do that. The skateboard park is there for the kids for the skateboard. They should not be using First Avenue for skateboard. I'm not talking about the real little ones that are on their little bikes with the with their wheels on there. I'm talking about adults plus adult children, and it's just a hazard. And we really need, Chief, we really need somebody to be down there to see what's going on, and it's worse in the summer, and it's really a hazard for people walking on First Avenue, coming out of the store, coming out of anywhere. So I was told by the two previous chiefs when I brought it up that all the parents would be upset that I didn't want their children safe on the sidewalk. I'm not saying that. I'm saying they need to walk the bikes, and so do the adults. And this has been a problem going on for a long time, and I was told by the two chiefs that I spoke to that if there's no ordinance, and they don't know of any other towns that have an ordinance, and that it possibly would be, the parents would be very upset. I think a lot of parents wouldn't be upset because there's a lot of parents with little ones in carriages and walking, and it is a very, very dangerous situation, and it's getting worse.
Okay. Thank you.
So I'm really hoping that something could be done, maybe Chief could have someone down there during the day watching, especially once the kids get out of school, if they could, you know, see the situation, how bad it is.
Okay.
It is very
Thank
bad.
You.
And the second thing, and I don't mean to prolong anything, but what is going on with the parking that former Mayor LeBrice had started talking about on West Avenue or Hennessy Boulevard, that having the angle parking. We were talking about now since all that area has been cleared and cleaned up and all of the Yes Company has done that work. She had talked about possibly the curbing, of course, before the trees, which wouldn't not interfere with the trees, but then you would gain quite a few parking spaces if they angled the parking. Has it gone any further?
So I know that the parking committee has done some level of analysis and information gathering on that point. I think Mr. Fisher can share some of that information with you. Beyond that, formal action has not been taken by the governing body.
Okay, and I understand that, you know, you were looking into a garage and whatnot. That's very, very costly, but I thought that at least this would add some parking, you know, on a temporary basis, or, you know, help out a little bit.
All right, thank you. Thank you. Mr. Leinster.
Josh from Lang Services, Bayside Guide. I came down tonight because I want you to know I've spent many hours in schools. I've done a lot of teaching all over the state, and I've spent a lot of time in fields looking at the roads and thinking, you know, anybody can drive up at any time. So I have a really good idea, affordable and comprehensive for keeping all our students safe. Every school should have surveillance cameras pointing out, covering the entire outside of every school. And every parent should have be able to get on the platform that monitors the surveillance cameras. I went through this in a town where I lived with the superintendent, who I spoke to Councilman Baraccio on election day. Every parent I know, if they're passing their school, and even if they're passing their local school, looks to make sure that everything is safe, that their child is safe. Mm-hmm. It's time to bring the parents back in on the security end and give the parents the capability to, you know, you're sitting in your office, you wonder, how's my kid doing? Is everything okay at the school? Get online, get on the platform, look at the surveillance cameras, you see everything's fine, you're reassured, you go back to work. It's to pull in the parents. Let's get the parents, we've got the technology, it's not that expensive, and we can't afford to have a policeman at every corner of every school all the time, but we can afford to let the parents back in, and so that they can see that their child is safe. And they will check. They will check several times a day. I did when my child was in school, and
I know.
Everybody would do it, and it would be affordable, it would be comprehensive, it would work.
So I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
So, first, Mr. Lansdorf, it's a very good idea. Number two, it is something that does not cost a lot of money. This would be something that you would need to present to the school board. The properties of the schools themselves and the structures fall under the domain of the school board. So that this is something that this governing body
next week,
14th. Yeah. So I would encourage you to definitely share your ideas with them.
Okay, but I was thinking also maybe this could be from Washington.
Yeah. This is a school board conversation.
You can present it there, Josh, but I think the initial thing that they'll tell you is there's privacy laws.
I don't think there's privacy laws if it's outside. You don't have an expectation of privacy.
Well, this has to do with the school board.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Yes. Okay.
Inside too, and then they said no privacy. The second thing is, I want to commend Councilwoman Hogan-Leitner for work on Juneteenth, but just to tell everyone that the first Juneteenth was in Galveston, Texas, mm-hmm. on June 19th, 1863. It celebrates the slaves learned they were free, and so they had a big party on the beach, which is why they want to come to the beach. But I think you should all know that today Long Branch sued the people who put up the thing, come to the beach on Juneteenth. I think we should, you know, when you know people want to go someplace, you should reach out and try to come to an accommodation. Like the mayor said, she prefers people to come down to testify in person, even though we now have the capability mm-hmm. to do it online. I come down because the mayor said she prefers it. And I want to say to Nikki West, I'm a dinosaur. I came out, you know, I discovered the way I learned to drive in 1962. The rules have changed. Then when I told my daughter about a license, not only are children allowed to ride their bikes on the sidewalks in New Jersey, but adults are allowed as well. It's state law. What you're not allowed to do is ride your bike in a crosswalk. But obviously nobody knows the rules. But I do think we should make an effort to let everybody know what the rules are, so they, because I see, you know, school crossing guards telling the kids, stopping traffic so the kids can ride their bikes across the street when they should be walking. So that's all I wanted to say. I really came down for the school security thing, and then say, take it to the school.
Mm-hmm. Right, thank you. Thank you. Oh, wait.
Hey, Ashley Cruz, 124 Leslie Avenue. I am standing here to talk about our Freehold Borough and Atlantic Highlands and the magnificent trees that live within our bounds. We are a tree city of over 40 years, and I here in our town, but lots of other places too, but I'm constantly witnessing the felling of trees. And just over last weekend, I witnessed a tree come down on a resident's property that definitely was not anywhere near the end of its life. It had to be around over 100 years old and at least 80 to 90 feet tall. It was a red oak, which is native to this area. It's also our state tree of New Jersey. After it, composed myself. I saw the residents outside. I asked them if this was their house and their tree, and I was like, are you cutting it down? They said, yes, we are, because there's like a ring around it from the previous owner. And I was like, okay. I asked them, like, how many people came out to tell them that they should take down this huge tree and not just burn it back? They said two people, two like arborist companies came out, and also someone from our DPW came out and gave the okay that you should definitely kill the tree. And my biggest question here for you all is, I guess it was from our town, someone came, but I was wondering why an arborist didn't come to take a look at this tree.
So if you could either call or send me an email tomorrow so I could look into the specifics of this particular situation, because I don't know if they filed for a permit, if they didn't, if one was granted, and if it was granted, what the parameters of it was, if they exceeded that or not, the tree was found to have a disease or not. So I would rather not make any comments other than, at this point, please provide me the information, because I will definitely look into it for you, and we can explore what took place.
But do we have an arborist?
We have access to an arborist.
When did we get that access?
We've always had
that request
through CME Engineering.
And when do we request that?
So the borough, so there's a whole process. If somebody comes and says they want to cut down a tree, they have to fill out. There's a permitting process. Now, if it's on a steep slope, the process is even more complex. But let's just assume, for argument's sake, that it's not. So they fill out a permit with Beth Merkel, and DPW sends somebody out to take a look at it. And we consult with CME as well, our engineering firm, and we just come to a determination whether an arborist is needed to go take a look at the situation as well. And then CME would issue that arborist. If that process is not, if I'm incorrect in any level, let me know. But that's the process.
Okay.
Yeah, we do not have a paid arborist on staff. It's
so
part of our services with CME.
You'll help me out and look into this and
yes,
see if the arborist from CME was called to come out and take a look at this tree.
Yeah, I could find that out.
Okay.
But I think we have to look at the overall process and what triggers them.
Yes.
Right, the parameters of the situation.
It's not already additional to look at it outside of first.
That's correct.
We went through a whole process mm-hmm. a few years ago and actually put notice requirements in, right, and everything.
Yeah.
So
that was borough property.
Project. This is private property.
It was on a I thought it was in the street.
No, it's private.
No,
all right.
Private.
Sorry, I misunderstood.
I said a sidebar, Councilman Crowley, right, on that same question.
Yeah, our ordinance from a couple of years ago was for borough-related projects on borough property. I don't know what the ordinances are on the books in terms of if you take a tree down on private property, what the process is. I don't know off the top.
I can look
part
into
of
it.
The challenge also, I think, is that we have an approved list of companies, right. And that's, I think, part more what our staff is doing is looking to see. I think that the assumption is that the way that they became approved was that we were trusting these vendors. I could be wrong, so correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that we were expecting, it's not the responsibility of Roger to say that the tree is alive or dead, but it's that we have an approved list of vendors that are authorized to perform that work in Atlantic Island. So I think this is,
yes.
Giving the shade tree report, this is, I think we need to talk more about when we trigger bringing in, making sure that first of all, that list, that they're actually evaluating the trees based on an arborist view, not a tree company, a for-profit.
The tree, and of course, like the health, safety, and welfare of people comes before saving trees, and then of course, like the resident's home. But there's ways to like get around this, and if the tree has been actually like looked at and studied well, then you know maybe there's other ways to mitigate cutting it down. I will reach out to you, and I ask that we do look further into how we are trying to, you know, care for it, maintain, and preserve the trees that really make Atlantic Island stand out, literally, because we have big hills with trees on. So,
thank you.
Thank you.
So, I'm going to 1.5 each now. I'm going to be frank, every time I hear that we want to go ahead and try to solve our parking space with these short-term solutions, my head wants to explode. We have green space, we have limited green space. The highest and best use of the property on Hennessy Boulevard is not to put angle parking in. Okay? It's to preserve that. It's part of the menu, Main Line Creek, the walkway. The highest economic value is the beautification of this town. Ultimately, the parking problem needs to go very, very deep. The way we solve our parking problem in this town is not to promote illegal parking, not to make incursions into buffer zones. And we still haven't addressed the situation with Main Line Creek. We're still not addressing the C Street parking and the lack of buffer zones on the creek. Ultimately, what we have to do is we have to have a very logical strategy when we do good things in this state. So one of the things that we're doing right now is consolidating the school districts, which is a savings. What we need to do as a community and as a committee, as a council, is to leverage that. Leverage that and ask for what the town needs. Not to put bonds on this town to go ahead and build parking, but to work with the state and come up with a logical process that identifies contribution sales tax tied to State Street, tied to this community as a transit hub, and come up with a very cogent argument and request for that funding. There is still significant funding in the state from COVID. There is a surplus. If we do not have a strategy to engage with Trenton and financial backing behind it and logic, we're never going to solve this problem. So I'm against any angle parking. And now we're going to segue into safety. The most likely cause of injury or death to our children in this town and to our people are getting hit by cars, okay, and crosswalks, okay? And we need to address those realistic concerns. Now let's talk about 158 and 160. My objection to that project was the driveway, the excuse for the variances were they didn't have access to the land. It's more likely that accidents are going to happen with that driveway coming off. So as we move forward to try to be creative with 160, we need to redirect that driveway away from the drop-off, okay, and put it onto the property next door. They're related, they know that, they con to go ahead and get the variances, and now we have a loading zone for commercial use right here where the kids are going to be let off once that building is open. I'm also going to go ahead and remind everybody on council that part of this process is going to be COs. That property owner has cost this town, or cost the Board of Education, a significant amount of money. They've held a $20,000 deposit when the superintendent put an option to buy that property. They never got it back.
And they have not made the Board of Education, ultimately the taxpayers, whole for the upgrade and the vapor lock system. So I just, when we look at this and we look at the parking variances that they got, we need to go and address that and use that leverage to go and recoup some of that money. Also, one of the things I heard is about recycling. I think as a community, we need to promote cycling in this town. Okay? We need to look at the demographic and the economics that come into this town. And instead of making it a problem, why don't we begin an educational program? Why don't we highlight that we have pedestrians and we have pedalers? This town has got a legacy of doing races. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful place to ride a bike. And this is what we do. We draw people into this town to promote cycling. I'm willing to volunteer, I'm willing to go ahead and promote cycling. And I think we need to work with our Department of Public Works, and we need to go ahead and make people aware that we have cyclists in this town and promote that and get the economic benefit.
Thank you.
Mr. Broadbent, sometimes we agree, sometimes we disagree. Right. And I'll tell you, in regard to the cycling that you just talked about, and I know Chief's here, I agree that maybe there's an educational program we can do. I've been a victim of nearly getting bowled over on First Avenue by kids that are going too fast. So maybe Chief can start looking into an educational program for the kids on how to ride their bikes when they're up on the sidewalk, especially if there's no law on the books that says that you can't ride on your sidewalk. In regard to 158, 160, I was just going to talk to Councilman Dougherty later. That's why I was asking the question about if there's a connector between 158 and 160, because I remember that conversation about the driveway, and I agree with you about that. And maybe when it does finally become an application, that's something for Planning Board to look into to see. And I don't know, Brian, if it is the same ownership. It was at one point, I know, who owned the other piece of property, but if there is a way to connect that and have a smarter way so that it's not getting funneled into the school traffic in the morning, because that was a big concern, I think that'd be great if Planning Board can look into. And I agree with you on the angle parking. I understand that it is, as a member of the parking committee, it's adding spaces to Hennessy. I get that. But I also know that I've seen a lot of studies about angle parking, and when people are backing out, that's when accidents happen, and I've never been a fan of the angle parking, and I may be in the minority on that, but I just thank you for your comments on that.
I think it's really, really important to educate drivers. Okay, so if you're a cyclist on the road, you have the right of way. You have that ability to be on there. You're not a nuisance when you're in the road. You're not a hassle. You're not the guy you're going to get bored or pushed off. Because I've been that guy being run off the road, being shy at, situations. So, we need to promote compatibility.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Hello, I'm Elizabeth Petrum, 123A East Highland Avenue. I'm also the chair of the Atlantic Highlands Board of Education. Thank you for passing the resolution tonight. Thank you for delaying the resolution to wait for the late grant. I know it felt like a long wait. I do appreciate that. I did want to point out in Resolution 106 on page 2. The third paragraph down where it says, whereas in February 2022, the Board of Education, blah, 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 it actually should be May 2021
there.
I can send an email about that.
Okay.
But I did, as I was looking over the details, if you want to just so that we did have the year.
Mm-hmm.
So, as a reminder, we do have meetings next week. Highlands Elementary, three different course situations currently. Highlands Elementary has their meeting at 6 o'clock, I believe, on Monday the 13th. Atlantic Highlands, we have our board meeting at 7 o'clock on Tuesday the 14th. And then Henry Hudson has their meeting on Wednesday the 15th at 7 o'clock. Our agendas will include registrations.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
And thank you for hosting the meeting or calling the meeting today. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thanks. Mr. Fisher.
Thank you, Mayor. Mark Fisher, 91 Third Avenue. We're almost 6 months into having a contract EMS service in town. I haven't heard any reports on how that's going, how many calls they've responded to, whether there's been personnel or response issues. I know the task force is doing their thing, but I think the base business first aid should be giving us reports on how many calls the contractors responding to versus how many calls the volunteers are responding to, and how it's all going. I mean, the situation obviously is better, but is it really good? Right? And will we ever get to a point where we can back out of that contract?
I know.
So if we get out a report maybe for the next meeting or next month, just to see how that's going, I would appreciate it. We had a Mother Teresa walkthrough recently, Mr. Tarantino. Is that something we can talk about? I know that was for the planner, I believe.
So I can't talk about it at this current time because it is an executive session item.
Okay.
But at some point, I will be able to update everyone.
I heard that for like 3 years.
I know, but because it's an executive session, I can't. I'm not legally able to. But I feel your frustration.
Town hall meeting, Mayor. 6 was canceled.
Yes.
When is it going to be?
So we're looking at, we're trying to configure a date right now to have that date between now and the 15th of the month.
For
15th, between now and the 15th of July.
Yeah, we can. Nope.
This is government. We don't work that fast.
Well, that's for sure.
I know. It's still in the process.
We're exploring the Hess Center.
Right.
Okay. It's got to be something
right.
Much larger based on what we've seen at the high school. Thank you. The Board of Education presidents, the mayors, the BAs, they all met today.
The Board of Ed presidents, Dr. Beams, we had council people from Highlands and Seabright, and then their BAs. And Mark Magyar.
Okay. How did the meeting go?
I think it went well.
So it was a proactive roundtable discussion. There wasn't really an agenda per se. The objective was to bring people around the table and to have a loose conversation, to get some of the stakeholders to collaborate and have a discussion, because up to this point there's been a lot of emotional elements to this process. So I think that was achieved. In addition to achieve that, you know, we noted that where we were at with the resolution process, confirmed, as was noted earlier tonight, that the school boards are voting, the respective 13th, 14th, 15th, that the 8 that we're voting on, we voted obviously tonight.
June 20th is the petition.
Right, June 20th is the petition submission target date.
Mm-hmm.
And Seabright and Highlands already passed their resolutions, obviously. So from that perspective, it was a positive dialogue, right? I think.
And when you say petition, what we're really talking about, this is the petition from the boards of ed to the superintendent.
All three. I mean, everyone is going to be buying in.
Yeah, I think that there was an understanding that I think we're all talking the same general language. When I say we all, I'm talking about the three municipal entities as well as the school district, Dr. Beams, and then the individual schools within the Board of Ed, in terms of expansion rather than dissolving anything.
Mm-hmm.
So, and although that seems pretty simple, I think up to this point there were a lot of opinions and debates and even discussions about those two things. I think now, at least my perception of today was we're all on the same page.
So the reason I asked the question is, up until now, everybody's in their own little pod, the boards of education,
right.
The three individual councils, the superintendent. You should all now be the regionalization team, one team.
Yes, that's exactly what we spoke about today.
So I hope
that's
that
good. Yes.
Somebody puts that down on letterhead saying we are now the regionalization team and not individual towns and boards.
But this council is still the Atlantic Highlands Council.
No, I understand that.
Well, I mean, but that, there's a big part of that, that when we talk about what...
Yeah, we talked about, that's a good point, Councilwoman Hoyland. So today we actually talked about that, that there are individual needs and wants that differ from municipality to municipality as well as the Board of Ed. But at least we're at the point where we're all aligned, we're all in alignment of expansion, we're all in alignment of passing the resolution, we're all in alignment of getting to the next step, and we're all in agreement that the attorneys can work on all of our individual needs and wants and sit at a table with us collaborating and being part of the process and coming to an end result that's in the best interest of everybody but has some intricacies that differ from municipality.
I think now this group, it's one agenda, and everybody has to go up and work their problems and come mm-hmm. back with a consensus.
Yes.
It's not many different agendas.
Yes. Right.
Many people mm-hmm. fighting for territory. Nope. So thank you for having
We're good.
Me.
We're good.
The last thing is the flags on Memorial Parkway. Have we made friends with the DOT? Or they
still are in? We're still broken up.
It only took 7 years to get the lights.
Taking a break.
It's a work in progress.
Okay. All right, that's all I have. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Anyone on Zoom?
No hands on Zoom there.
All right. Oh, all right. Okay.
I want Morning Star 620 Woods Drive. I wanted to thank Councilwoman Hoylander for the wonderful talking and flag raising. And I also want to thank Councilwoman Dougherty for singing at the Memorial Day Parade. I thought that was a very lovely thing to witness. And that brings me into why I'm up here annoying once again is that these two events, you know, they were just bringing people together. They were just showing our pride as Americans and as Atlantic Towns residents. But other than, you know, one day event and bringing us all a feeling of joy, there wasn't a whole lot of value to it, but it still is obviously very meaningful that everyone participated. So that's why I'm asking once again to consider the Medicare for All resolution, because even though it doesn't necessarily mean anything, it still signals to the community that you care about them and that you want us to have the same rights as every other person in the other country on the earth. So there's my plea one more time. And finally, this, I know we're going to have a workshop on cannabis or a
ordinance
public comment on cannabis, but this is an optimistic thing I just wanted to share. And my two states that I visited in the last 2 weeks both have cannabis and votes, and they both have the same laws that I thought were really attractive to me as somebody who books this shop locally, that you're not allowed to purchase cannabis or cannabis products outside of the state. And so each state that I visited, California and Massachusetts, had a completely different set of things that you could buy and have adult use with. And I thought that there was something to be said about an industry that is not going to be captive to, you know, widespread corporate takeover. Each state is going to have their own businesses that are successful. They're going to have their own brands that people can look to. And as you're traveling around the country, you know you're
going
to be able to find those state by state.
I
thought that was
very
interesting. All right, thank you.
Bob Sherman, 20 Harper View Drive. I grew up a few years ago, since the gentleman from the Recreation Committee is here, the beach at the Catamaran Club, when we were going through this whole deadbolts thing, we had pictures. There's big signs that say private property. Adam was supposed to take those down, or have someone take them down and make more people aware that the beach next to the Catamaran Club is a public beach with trail, and it's a really nice beach with all kinds of things. So I thought maybe we can beat this attack and try mm-hmm. to make the public inland towns where it exists.
Okay, thank
Bob,
you.
Bob, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Are the signs back up that say private
property? I haven't been there, and I wasn't planning on mentioning it tonight, but since the Recreation Committee was here, I figured I'd bring it up.
Because I remember I pulled their contract with Adam, and I went and I read it, and it's very clear that it can't say that. And I know Adam not once but twice went down and told them to pull the sign, and at different times that sign reappeared. Just people told me at various times that they went to the beach and they were they were told, you know, that they couldn't be on the beach. Councilman, do you know something different?
The sign is regarding, I believe the sign is referring to the parking.
It's only the parking.
There is a public access sign up, so okay. I don't know what you're referencing, because the, or that.
Well, there was a sign that was not regarding the parking, so I guess.
Nothing said private beach.
The good news okay. is, the good news is that because we're acquiring the property that
right,
we're in question,
mm-hmm. right.
yep. that there's, we'll be planning that, mm-hmm. how that is mm-hmm. going to be developed, if we're not developed, but, so that we definitely, we'll take that into consideration. Doug and I were down there. I don't think I noticed that sign this time when we were down there.
I'll go down this morning and take pictures.
Good.
I didn't mean to bring it up, mm-hmm. but I was here.
There's also Councilwoman and Doug. Ab and I spoke about this because I was concerned, well, we were going to be losing some parking that people do use in a dirt lot, you know, that Adam had said, and maybe when you're looking at this for open space, if you're looking towards the ocean, off to the right, there are standard trees, but there's some... What's that?
The poison ivy.
that could be graveled over to make up for some of the loss of people. So we're not making it more difficult for people to be able to access what might be lawn or whatever it is.
Including ADA.
Yes, mm-hmm. thank you. Yes.
Mm-hmm. No one on Zoom? Oh.
Zach Brown, 64 West Drive. I have a couple of questions, mostly I think for Councilman Crowley. Same to is there a plan to switch from this camera to that camera for going forward for Zoom meetings and when we can transmit?
So there's more training, as I mentioned in my report, on next Thursday for some of us. I would have loved to have seen it up and running today, but they did a test run and there was some crackling on the audio. So there's going to be somebody that'll come out next week and hopefully that'll all get rectified. I can't really tell you what it is. That's just what was reported to me. And yes, that camera will no longer be needed. That camera and the camera over there be used. I know there's already been one of the training seminars, some presets have been made so everybody can see the dais for mayor and council. Mm-hmm. And then we'll do presets for, I was talking with planning board secretary today. So if people want to bring drawings, still in on an easel, they'll be able to preset and get close-ups of that, and Doug would be able to maneuver the camera any way he wants, or whoever's doing it, to get close-ups or other angles. So those two cameras, and that's the sound bar that they need to work on, so hopefully the next council meeting.
Okay, and what's the plan for the monitors? Are they just going to show, like, potentially people who are speaking on Zoom? Like,
that is definitely an option, as well as if people are doing presentations either in a workshop form or if you're in planning board, you'll be able to display what's what that camera can see. You can punch that image in and put those on the monitors.
Okay, thank you. Right. And what about the new website?
So I missed yesterday. I was traveling. Councilman Baraki mentioned that they're still updating the website and that people are putting more input on it. And then that'll be presented, but I think that's probably...
Yeah, as all the information's migrated from the old site to the new one, it's not fitting in real smooth. So we're going to go and try to consolidate some of the drop-downs and the, for instance, the departments. We'll know what the departments are, but then there are other things that are related to a department, but they're not really a department. So if you're looking for, you know, recycling, it may not be so intuitive. So that's what we're trying to do is fix that, and it's just going to take a couple of drafts running by and just looking at it, and but it's going to be a little while. It does get more detailed as it goes on. It's just a lot, tremendous amount of.
The deeper you get into it, the more options you see, and how to handle those options so that what you don't want is what we have now. Is you've got to scroll down to try to find what you want, and it's still not wanting to give up any intuitiveness, so that when you go on, there may be fewer choices that are more concise, and then that'll direct you to the more specifics of what.
One drop down and 32 choices.
Can we make it so that, I mean, rather than having the full page and all the drop downs, you have your different departments, but then you also have your search bar?
Yeah, we have that too. We have something actually to answer to that.
So that it'll actually search the website.
Yeah. Or how do I, and you put in, how do I
That's the key, is when you do a search currently, it takes you out to the web.
Yeah. Right.
And it's like, no, we want a search that is just for Atlantic Highway.
You just say Memorial Day Parade and the Pop Parade.
Right. You bet. Or even an ordinance. You want to go look up an ordinance? You can, boom, you can go right to it as opposed to...
And I know that people with filing for the planning board, all the paperwork is sometimes difficult to get to.
And, look, some of this is going to be, you'll get a rollout and it'll be better. It might be 60% better, and then with more commentary, we can keep refining it and making it better for, as you say, you know, where do you go for the planning board stuff, you know,
to make the opportunity for like public feedback and continue.
So nothing is set in concrete with this. It'll be a living document, but hopefully the living document, the foundation is such that it'll be cleaner and more intuitive and easier to find. But some of the writing of it, to just do searching internally, that's going to take a little time.
Okay, thank you. And on the topic of Medicare for All, fortunately, I think in this community, we don't have a problem with gun violence, but we do have people in the community who do struggle with mental health.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I think, is a sort of a common factor between the tragic events that have happened. And if you look at the numbers, school shootings and mass shootings are horrific, and they make a lot of news, and people talk about them for shorter periods of time, mm-hmm. unfortunately, and then nothing gets done. But the numbers say that far more people are killed every year in suicides, domestic violence issues, which can all be addressed by people having access to mental health care. It needs to be destigmatized and made available to everyone in every community, and the fact that we have people who go and do terrible things, hurt themselves or others, because they don't have access to the tools that many of us do have access to. And if we can prevent lives, you know, gun control is a very hot topic, and people have very differing views on, you know, whether or not there should be laws restricting certain kinds of things. Not the place to discuss that here. But I don't think that mental health should be controversial. Anybody who tells you that they don't support mental health care, in my opinion, doesn't care about America. So that's my
thank
place
you.
Tonight.
Okay, thank you, Jeff. Okay, I'm going to try this again. Zoom? We're all good? Okay, okay.
I know.
Paul Barbados.
Paul Barbados.
There we go.
Short and sweet. I just wanted to say that speaking to a lot of residents in New Orleans about the retail sale of cannabis in New Orleans.
We're going to be speaking on that during the ordinance.
Okay, all I just want to say is my opinion and all. They have mothers against drunk driving, right? Now we're going to have fathers against weed driving.
Okay, thank you. Okay. I think I need a motion and a second
to go into executive session. I'll just add, Mayor, the resolution 112-2022 is to do an update on Mother Teresa. Michelle, if you would be so kind as to also add, check the box for pending litigation unrelated to Mother Teresa, but we'll talk about that as well during the executive session.
Well, I'm not going
to... We'll do the pending litigation first.
Okay,
and
good.
You can head on out.
Wait a minute.
All right,
so we're going to be going
into
executive
session. Exit public comment and go to executive session.
And how long?
Approximate duration 30 minutes. No formal action will be taken following the executive session.
Thank you, everyone.
Why don't we just stay right here?
You want to stay here or no?
No, I'd rather go.
Okay. I would have been okay with that. It was like everybody was separate being rich. Rich is rich is against it all. I'd be okay with it being rich, not bad. I'd be okay with it. But everybody knows
that you're talking about it.
Can I get a motion to
some move that?
30 minutes. All in favor?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Hi.
Recording
open.
Good night. I got
it. Okay.
Hi.
Who was
the second?
Murphy.
Got it.
All in favor?
All right.
All right. Good night, everybody. See you.